Welcome back, folks, to the Humble Coach Podcast. My name is Porrick. I haven't been on in a little while, so I do apologize about that. But we are back with episode 27, and I'm joined by a really, really excellent coach. One of the most experienced CrossFit coaches you could ever find. Her name is Nicole Christensen, and she is the owner of CrossFit Roots in Boulder, Colorado. Nicole, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm
excited.
Great stuff. So Nicole, I suppose a lot of people in the CrossFit world, anyways, and the greater S&C world will know about you and some of your history with CrossFit, and right. A lot of people will know potentially, like in my world, anyways, would know about CrossFit Roots, and it's really, really phenomenal gym. And if you could go into a little bit of your athletic background and how you kind of got into coaching in general, that'd be fantastic. So,
If you could. Let's see, athletic background. I grew up swimming, mm-hmm. and that was my main sport. I played a little bit of softball as well and hiked with my dad on backpacking trips and whatnot, but most of it was swimming. And then when I went to college here, I went to swim for the University of Delaware.
Okay.
And I did that for a while, and at the same time, I was also coaching swimming for a couple different swim teams of kids that were ages 5 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I graduated from school, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to coach, so I moved into coaching swimming right after college. That was
okay.
That was my dream, was to be a collegiate level swim coach.
Mm-hmm.
And athletically along the way, I kept up with the swimming a little bit. I dabbled in some triathlons because everyone said, oh, you can swim, you should do a triathlon.
Yeah.
And I was a terrible runner. Breaststrokers don't make for good runners, no. It turns out. So, and then let's see where I go from there. That was in Arizona. I was at Arizona mm-hmm. State University. And
okay.
I loved coaching, but I couldn't really make a living off of it, to be mm-hmm. honest. I think after all the hours and dividing them out, I was making like $3.20 an hour. And so I decided that I would have to get a quote unquote real job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to graduate school for city and regional planning.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, exactly. I'm using it a lot today, but no, it was a wonderful time. But I did that in Pennsylvania, and then I learned about CrossFit right after I graduated from grad school.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, I suppose, just to kind of to jump in a little bit, like I've asked a lot of people in the recent past about how they got into coaching and stuff, but a friend of mine actually said that recently they were like, is there any particular coaches that got you into it, or what was the spark that kind of got you into it a little bit, and the coaching kind of bug?
Sport history, and mm-hmm. I was actually a really shitty swimmer, terrible, like really, really terrible.
But you tried hard.
What?
You tried hard.
I tried hard, exactly. And so I was a pretty crappy swimmer, but I had these coaches that just, it wasn't about whether I was, you know, the fastest kid, mm-hmm. they were going to coach me no matter what, and they were just, I don't know, it was definitely something that stuck with me that I wanted to be a coach. And so, yeah, there were a lot of swim coaches along the way that I really looked up to, and that was, I think, the starting point for why I got interested in coaching in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Excellent. So you've been I suppose, involved in CrossFit for, what are we looking at now, maybe 10 to 15 odd years, potentially? 10 years, nice.
I took my level 1 in 2008.
Okay, cool. I didn't take
about a year before that.
Nice. Well, I didn't take my level 1 in 2008, but I found CrossFit in 2008. I wouldn't mind, because I was living in the States in 2007 in Connecticut,
okay.
and I only realized when I came home, I was like, oh no, this is terrible. I went so many good places in near Connecticut. I was like, damn it. So that was, it was good. But have you found, like, obviously there's been significant differences in, be it a coaching approach and also the actual amount of people doing CrossFit and just being very, very active in the functional fitness world. But I came across a nice little kind of piece about yourself and about the your belief that every individual has the potential to thrive through CrossFit. And I'm a huge fan of that word, that thriving word, that connotation. And I want people I was in college a while back, and one of the lecturers always talked about flourishing, which I thought, I always found really, really nice, because he was constantly just talking about, okay, we want you to flourish, not just kind of survive or just exist a bit and really, really make progress. And I've seen it recently where we've had people who would have been in the more mature bracket, and they're making so much progress. Like I was calling one of my own, one of our own members, Benjamin Button, the other day, because he's just getting a little bit younger all the time. So I suppose where would that kind of come from? Has that been built up over the years because of your exposure to so much progress that you've seen that belief really, really grow in yourself for everybody? I've always found that really interesting, and I think, and I've always been going, I've been, I suppose, as a coach, you're always trying to look in that direction, and a lot of the time you're coming up against kind of obstacles here and there, be it with people's lifestyles or with their time availability for training, or their just a lot of different elements to it. But I think that's one thing that with CrossFit and with the functional fitness type of mentality, that combination of the community element, the combination of the actual coaching being a very, very big priority in it, rather than just the activity alone or the numbers on the board or just even the community. Like a lot of different types of training will have a really good community. Like spinning, for example, has a really great community, fine, but it does the quality of coaching on such a broad and varied level really make a big, big difference to it? Yeah, yes and no, maybe, you know what I mean? Compared to the variety within CrossFit, I think that really, really is such a holistic kind of model. But that's pretty interesting. You have spent some time as a level one certificate flow master. Am I correct in that?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Now you're not doing that at the moment, but could you speak a little bit about your experience with that and any kind of little nuggets that you can kind of portray to other coaches potentially about what you would have learned from that, coming from just a general coaching background and then our general coaching position and then into that role of flow master a little bit more. Excellent. I think so. I think I agree. Like I'm booked in for my level two at the moment. I've done my level one. I suppose been coaching and stuff for a good while and been a CrossFitter. But the coaches that I had for the level one, like I had experienced good coaching before. I would say. But the level that I got, like I had Zach Pine. I had Jesse Ward. I had Jen Marshall. Oh, really?
Zach used to work at Roots way back in the day. That's great.
Excellent. Yeah, like I had him, I had Jesse Ward, I had Jen Marshall, I had some serious enough kind of characters. So the level of skill that they had and have as coaches is very, 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 very good. So I was blessed to get that. And that's definitely encouraged me to be as focused on improving as possible. But
oh yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, like, I mean, I'm sure, you know, when I started with seminar staff. Mm-hmm. that I worked with under, or that I worked under a lot, Chris Spieler, Todd Whitman, mm-hmm. Chuck Carlswell, Adrian Bosman, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they were all sitting there, you know, just being like, oh my God, this is, you know, we've got a long way to go here. you know, and I remember teaching at the first gym that I ever coached at before we started our own, mm-hmm. and literally reading the squats article, mm-hmm. and writing down the primary points of performance on the inside of my hand so that I would have something to reference. You know, and so I think that a lot of times, you know, and I would hear this a lot mm-hmm. at the seminars, like the staff is incredible, and they are the best of the best, mm-hmm. In terms of training and coaches, but they also all started somewhere.
Absolutely,
in their hand, some stuff written on their hand, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of very focused and dedicated hours, but you know, everybody's capable of getting there.
Absolutely. So you have like you were saying that just there about your potentially previous job before your current gym, which is CrossFit Roots. Could you speak a little bit about some of the elements? Like, you have a thriving business with CrossFit Roots, a very, very well renowned one. It seems to be going fantastic. Do you have any particular kind of key elements that you've implemented along with your family or your other coaches, etc., that have made it into such a good quality gym? Is there any particular kind of two or three points that, or even more, that you would have that would go that way?
I mean, the first, I guess, the big two ones that come to mind, mm-hmm. is, and this is straight from, the first two are really straight from Greg Glassman. If you read some of his earlier articles about, mm-hmm. you know, the coaching is the premier thing that you're looking to offer at your gym. Mm-hmm. That's the number one most important thing. You know, anybody can open up a gym and have some barbells in there and some, you know, really schnazzy equipment.
Yeah.
But like we said, in terms of bringing the programming to life and helping your athletes thrive, that stuff through coaching. And so mm-hmm. it's easier said than done. But something that we've done at Roots has been to develop our coaches every step of the way, mm-hmm. and also provide incentives for them to continue to want to develop. CrossFit headquarters has done an incredible job in terms of furthering the education level of the coaches, from the level one all the way through to the level four.
Absolutely.
And that does, you know, that does fuel a community that is developing higher and higher level coaches. So for us, you know, we have a pretty specific protocol for our coaches. We have a way that we bring them on board, mm-hmm. In terms of they work with our staff one-on-one, mm-hmm. Working on teaching different elements of classes. They also shadow classes, and they slowly start to teach small little bits of class that, to be perfectly honest, they've already rehearsed with us in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that slowly builds them into great coaches. You know, at Roots, we're fortunate. We're just fortunate to have a lot of individuals along the way that have come to us that have wanted to continue to develop, and at the same time, we also wanted to, create a focus on what we value as gym owners. And so, for the level three, we actually offered our staff, when it first came out, we said that if you take the test within a year of having your required 750 hours, mm-hmm. That we'd give them a $2,000 bonus.
Wow, excellent.
And it's not about paying them to get the certification. Mm-hmm. It's about rewarding them for the tremendous effort. To be perfectly honest, I think there's probably like 1,000 level three trainers in the world.
Yeah.
And then also knowing that that's a level of coaching and development and honestly like career driven, you know, mindset that we want for our community. That's the level of coach that we want coaching our athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the first one is just a focus on developing our coaches, whether they're the coach that just started and they're you know, they haven't really coached very many classes on their own yet, all the way through to, okay, you got your level three, let's start thinking about when the level four does come out, let's make sure we've got to focus on that. Nice. The second thing, which sounds really silly, but again, again is from Greg Glassman's original articles, is that we keep the gym really clean.
Yeah.
And I don't mean kind of clean. I mean, like, I would pretty much lick my floors.
Okay. Hardcore enough.
So, yeah. We have a front desk staff. We have a cleaning crew that we trade for membership. And then we also have a cleaning crew that we pay to come in. And I think that element gets really overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about having the it's funny. You need to have nice equipment. You have to keep stuff running. You need your throwers to work and not be rusty. But it's pretty simple. Just clean the floors, you know, and wipe down the walls and make sure the bathrooms are clean. And so that's definitely the second thing that as an affiliate, we're pretty darn clean.
Nice. Excellent.
And then I think the last thing is that we've really tried to hold the line on is it's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes use the phrase like nobody gets special treatment. And I've seen that a lot with affiliates, and it just seems to create drama and problems that don't really need to be there. And like small examples, like, you know, can I get a key to the gym so I can do this training, or I'm doing this competition and there's no open gym, but I need to come and do my workout. And I've got there's a lot of different examples of it. And in a way, every athlete at our gym is our children. And as my mother used to say to me, you're not special. So we really try and keep a very consistent approach with all of our athletes, that, you know, everybody gets the same open gym times. Everybody's required to do the same, you know, baseline level and of being a member of our community. And I think that's definitely, you know, even if people don't really like the answer, there's nothing that they fall back on saying, well, why did they get to do that? That just keeps like a very healthy environment. And something that I would want to be a part of. You know, I could put myself in that shoes, and if someone was like, oh, well, they were told that they get to do this, but I don't get to. It's like, well, yeah, that would make me feel less valued and whatnot. So
I think
those are probably the big three things we've held across, you know, the coaching, the cleanliness of the gym, and then just having a really consistent approach of expectations and allowances, if you will, that they're the same across the board, whether you're a, you know, regional qualifier or you're, you know, just joined the gym yesterday.
Yeah. I think that's one, I've encountered all of those elements with the gym that I work in, and to varying degrees, like even the last one, especially, I think at the moment things are going very much in the right direction. There's a distinct, like, we've got a lot of newer people and a lot of kind of two, 3 year plus people comfortably, and even higher, even longer. We've only been around kind of five odd years. So we've a lot of very experienced people, but exactly like that, we've had phases where there's been a bit of drama here and there, and we've just gone, look, hang on, we've got to stop. We've got to change the attitude to this, because it's still, and I always like to mess with it, but I'm like, no, this is still just basic exercise. Like, you don't have to get your knickers in a twist. It's still just getting a bit of exercise. Don't panic.
And if you think about it, like, I mean, I really use professional sports teams in a lot of my analogies. Yes, at CrossFit Roots, we're not a professional sports team, but, you know, if your team wins the Super Bowl or, you know, some big national title, and you were the best player on the team or whatnot, you don't all of a sudden get to like skip practice or go practice on your own, or you know, a lot of these things just sort of pop up in a CrossFit setting that if you put them into other athletic spaces, that's not
cool.
That's not how it works, you know.
Very much.
So I definitely try and draw some of that logic, whether it's good logic or not. That's a lot of the direction I take. Okay. Some of those things.
Excellent. So I suppose moving on a little bit, and we've spoken a little bit in the background about Project Roots. Could you speak a little bit about that and kind of give us a bit of a heads up? Is that out yet? Is it available? That kind of that the
It's out.
okay.
Yep, it's out and available. It's available if you go to crossroots.com /project roots. You can check it out. It's also on the Sugar One platform. So let's see, quick background on that. So 6 years ago, we started, as part of our coaching development, we started writing a WOD plan for every group class. And so there's a bunch of different reasons why. I mean, I'll rattle off like a couple, but one, having a plan is how you can be successful. Two, consistency across all classes, I felt was good for best business practices.
Yeah.
Like somebody that goes in the morning and gets to do one scaling option, in the afternoon their husband goes and they're like, well, I didn't get that. It's just, again, consistency and nobody special. It's all the same, you know, type thing.
Completely, yeah.
And it was also a really good learning environment. You know, the coaches would have to guesstimate and on paper and figure out how long things were going to take. And it makes them a better coach because they understand what they're coaching. They have to be able to write that plan. And so we'd been doing that for about 6 years. And then about 5 years ago, a couple moved to Boulder, Drew and Shayna Larson, and they started the workout tracking company called Sugar WOD. And we were really fortunate that they worked out at Roots, and we got to make ridiculous requests of Drew. And
nice.
Shayna had some, you know, oh, it'd be really cool if we could do this or whatnot. And they just built this beautiful, simple, and awesome app that really drives community engagement and involvement past the collection of the scores at the whiteboard in class.
Nice.
And so we had used to do it through an email, the WOD plan, and Drew built us in there, not us specifically, but we started using it, a note section. And so we do a full WOD plan. So
nice.
Project Roots is just that. It's affiliate programming that is classic CrossFit GPP programming to its core. It also has a daily WOD plan that I think what's really unique about it is that WOD plan's already been tested and done at CrossFit Roots.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think something that we see a lot is, like, to be a good coach, you have to hone your skill and you have to do what you have to practice your craft.
Yeah.
And so those WOD plans aren't just kind of, you know, put together. They're actually done at CrossFit Roots and, you know, 99% of the time they work out fine, but yeah, sometimes we have to tweak stuff and say, hey, we can make it a little bit better for Project Roots.
Yeah.
And then that's what gets delivered on the Sugar WOD platform. So it's the programming skill. They also get skill work that's included in every class that's based around the skills that CrossFit Open. And then there's a benchmark series where we test 12 workouts on a 4 month cycle.
Oh, I've seen that. Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah.
And then daily WOD plans. And then there's also a competitor add on. You know, a lot of gyms have a competitive group, and then that's programmed, the affiliate programming is programmed by Eva Klarsinkowski, who was also a Flowmaster for CrossFit for a number of years and works for the company as well. And then the rest of that programming is done by Dave Lee and then Mike Service is the Power Monkey. So it's, I think the big thing with Project Roots was just that we had been doing this for so long, and to be perfectly honest, it's about 65 hours a month for us to do write the programming, layer in the skill work, think through how it all integrates, and then write 30 WOD plans.
Yeah.
And the other part that's unique, I think, is that all the WOD plans are written by level 3 and level 4 coaches.
Yeah.
Everybody that's writing those is actually coaching group classes on a weekly basis as well as writing them. But it's been really fun. It's just, it's really, honestly, it's so fun.
Nice.
Because the gyms that we get to work with, you know, I think they're reinvigorated because it's a lot of time. But if you get the plan and now instead of what's my gym's programming, I got to write it. What's the WOD plan? Oh, I got to write it. Instead of, you know, table those hours, and now you get to say, hey, I'm going to learn this plan, I'm going to watch some videos, I'm going to expand my knowledge base by, you know, looking at some different material than maybe what I would have come up on my own, and now my job is to teach that, and to be perfectly honest, help, be able to help every single athlete in the class.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun just with the gyms that we've talked to, and it's seems that they really are having fun with it, and we're having a ton of fun with it as well.
Excellent, brilliant. Well, I hope it goes fantastically. I think it will. It will definitely go really, really, really well. We'll move on a little bit, I suppose. Do you have a particular favorite part of coaching? Is it the business part of coaching these days that you're kind of enjoying, or is it still the day to day, the art of actually getting someone from a particular point to their goal? Or are you big into the science of it and the heavy kind of the heavy background stuff?
No, and I think I resigned from CrossFit. Mm-hmm. A year ago.
Yeah.
And a large driver in that was just that I didn't get a large component and reason for that was that I was not at my affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I wanted to be. I think it took me a long time to realize that, but I mean, I started at Roots because I really love the day-to-day interaction with my athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like being on the gym floor and coaching, and I get a total high mm-hmm. doing that. And so, yeah, my passion is definitely the on the floor coaching athletes day to day. I also like a sort of a systematic approach in terms of I like the business side that allows all of my staff and the athletes to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually it's a long-running joke at our gym because so Eva Claire Sinkowski does all of our programming and
yeah.
and she'll say, well, oh, you could do programming for a month. I'm like, no, I can't. Like, I really have no interest in programming. I like looking at programming. I like seeing how it comes together.
Mm-hmm.
I really like making sure it checks all the boxes and things like that. But when it comes with the creativity of wanting to sit down and do that, like you couldn't pay me. I have no interest in so I like the application of it. I like making sure that every workout comes to life mm-hmm. for every athlete so that there's scaling options that enable them to get the intended stimulus of the workout. So I think I'm more of the application of it rather than the mm-hmm. the science and the design.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the emphasis on like what's the workout, I don't think probably think that I'm crazy for saying this. I don't think it matters that much.
Not
if
really.
You're doing constantly very functional movements executed at high intensity. Have a varying set of time domains, and mm-hmm. And people are finding very high intensity efforts through proper scaling.
Yeah.
You're doing it right.
Yeah.
Is someone's overhead squats better than someone's front squat combination with ring dips? Probably not.
Yeah.
when you're looking at like high quality programming to begin with. So knowing that, I mean, we're super fortunate because between Eva Claire and Dave and Mike, we have a pretty special set of checks and balances in terms of how that all comes together. Mm.
There's some pretty serious coaches.
Yeah, totally.
They're very, very good. I think I'd be a little bit the same. I think I'm definitely a little bit more of an emotional coach. Like I I'm not going to be screaming and roaring in the middle of a class, but if somebody is getting close or someone needs a little bit of a push, I really like the vibe of it because when I'm in the classes and I love taking the classes myself, I love when the other coaches are pushing us like that all the time or
mm-hmm.
everybody like just the vibe alone can be fantastic. But I think it's because I've seen so much progress being made by the approach to people within a workout or within a class and like just taking that time to give them a little bit of a better organization with the scaling option that they're going with, maybe adjusting a band or whatever it is. And then just kind of turning around going, well, now it's your turn. You got to get the business here. And actually then kind of following up with them and just making sure that the standards are high and that they realize that it's not just another normal kind of like I can kind of spin around and do my own little bits of squats and whatever, but actually go, no, you're in the middle of this now. You can do your good stuff here and you can allow yourself to be very good at this if you just let yourself a little bit, and we'll try and facilitate that as much as possible.
And you hit the nail on the head there because I do think that, even in this day and age of CrossFit where, CrossFit's been around for, 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. And we walk through the door and they're nervous and they're not sure if, you know, they're going to be able to do it. And they've been coming to the gym for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, being nervous and all that stuff, you know, makes you care and all those good things. However, from a coaching standpoint on the gym floor, it is a huge responsibility to make sure that the experience that they have is one that sets them up for success and not just for that day. But it's almost like, I mean, sometimes I think I get too into it, but it's almost like proving to them every day that they were capable of more than what they thought they were going to be able to do when they came in. And and I do think that takes a lot of effort on the coach, because it's not just accepting, it's not just letting people build their barbells up and say, okay, well, everyone build their bars up, so we're ready to go. It's watching every set of warm up and saying, is that, does that movement pattern, does that tempo, does that way they're moving it, all of that lend itself to being the right weight for what this workout is for this app, because I know them. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, that's my part of it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, you know, it's a very involved approach.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the best coaching days I've ever had, and I have a lot of them, I think, which is really nice and really enjoyable for me. But I'm fatigued after it, because I know I've just, and it's like, I'm not just like completely wrecked tired, but I'm mentally fatigued, but I'm also so excited for it. Because you can tell that you've definitely pushed. I always kind of like to look at CrossFit coaching as glacier coaching. So it's like you're always even moving a little forward, but you're moving an entire glacier, not just one or two pieces.
I think that whole concept right there, like whether it's in coaching or whether it's athletic development, you know, if you take an everyday athlete, okay, we see all these games athletes, and yes, they do these incredible things over the course of a year. Well, they're also spending like, you know, 6 to 8 hours in the gym every day working toward that. So just their progression and the how quickly they do that is going to be a lot faster.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you put it into the everyday athlete pace, it is a glacier pace. And that's okay, because they've got lives and jobs and kids and hobbies and other things that they enjoy in life. And this wasn't designed to be their only thing. But I guarantee that if, you know, at a glacial pace, if somebody over the course of 4 years started CrossFit and then on their fourth year of going to class for 5 1-hour sessions a week, they hop up into a muscle up, they're going to be pretty damn happy.
Yep.
It's just, they're not going to sit there and be like, man, I wish I got that on year two.
Yeah.
It's just that's the fastest pace that, you know, that you can really expect given the amount of input. And I do fear sometimes that I feel like CrossFit tends to, not CrossFit, just the community tends to navigate to like, oh, well, I want the muscle up faster, so I got to do more. And I do fear that, you know, just making sure that we read our athletes to say that they might not know that they want a muscle up yet. And if they just get into the consistent routine of coming 5 days a week, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we don't have to say like, okay, well, you need to be in the gym for 2 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that's really interesting. We could probably go on for yonks and yonks and yonks about that actual detail, because that's definitely a huge interest of mine, the nuances to that and how people can people of different levels can make big significant progress. And even like that, one of the previous guests I had on was great, John Singleton, who used to to coach Sarah Sigmund's daughter, and he spoke about how he works with a lot of kind of younger teenagers and younger CrossFit athletes who are very, very good, but he's building them up nice and steadily and getting them in really, really good good frame of mind and getting them to very good habits. But he said that, like that, someone who's a good CrossFitter, just a regular old in their normal gym, in their own gym, they're pretty good, they're top maybe five or something like that, they have to earn and do a huge amount of work to get to the top of the open. And if they get to the top of the open, then the rules change no matter what for the regionals, because you're going to still need to not necessarily add more volume, but you have different rules to play with. You have a different attitude to play with, but you have to earn the right to get to the regionals. You then have to earn the right to get to the games. But a lot of the time, we will have so much exposure to people that don't even know that a lot of this kind of stuff exists. So the easy, the small little things, like even a first pull-up. Like we've had so many people in recent times getting their first pull-up or their first toaster bar, and the excitement is unbelievable. Oh, yeah. But, and now for me, it's really interesting because now I'm like, okay, great, we can refine this. We can get twos in a row, we can get threes in a row, even double unders, like from one to five to 10 is it's a quantum leap for most people. But that's where the really good stuff is, because if we can set some good tones with them in that and get them into the process mentality, then they're up on the 50s in no time and they can maintain that, which is a really, really big thing.
Is probably one of the biggest things as coaches that we can help our athletes develop an awareness for.
Yeah.
Because I do think that you're right. Like if you look at any other high level sport, whether it's CrossFit or whether it's gymnastics, I mean, you know, 10-year-old gymnasts don't sit there and think that, you know, look at the pros and be like, God, I should be there right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they trust the process, they go to the gym and they work as hard as humanly possible in the exercise and the skills that they're doing for that day, and then they go home.
Yeah.
You know, and it is an interesting thing with CrossFit as and a good reminder for all coaches that we do have to keep that relative perception really close to us at all times, because you're right, two pull-ups in a row is a massive accomplishment when a year ago that person wasn't doing any.
Exactly. That's super, super. Nicole, do you have any favorite coaches?
In CrossFit or generally?
Either or. I'm curious for both.
I mean, my childhood coaches. You know, I had probably like the first coach that I had a memorable experience with were Ken Schwartz and Emily Coleman and Laura Rankin and just these great people that made the experience of wanting to get better just really fun. In college, I swam with Jeff King at Curlbrook for swimming, and Jeff was one of those people that definitely helped you see the day for the day and not always think about, you know, where you needed to be or where you should be, you know? And that was definitely like, he definitely helped me enjoy swimming in a lot of different ways that maybe I hadn't in a while.
Okay. Makes sense.
And then in CrossFit, you know, I've had a pretty awesome exposure to CrossFit coaches when I did compete. I worked with Doug Chapman for a long time, and Doug again was one of those people that there were two really strong things about him. One, he never hid where you needed to be.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, whether it was looking at times of other athletes or loadings, it was definitely a very realistic thing to say that, you know, if you're snatching 115 pounds and you want to go to regionals and everybody there can snatch 145 to 165 pounds, so this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
but that just needs to be a realistic, he said, a very realistic mindset for athletes. And I thought that was just a really, something that I definitely took to heart.
Nice.
The other thing that Doug was just so did so well was really applying CrossFit methodology, that the foundation of the program is GPP.
Yeah.
And the starting point for every day was a basic CrossFit classic couplet, triplet, a benchmark, not a benchmark, but just the good stuff, if you will. And I think that, you know, as I looked at a lot of programs over the years, there was, you know, it was like, okay, we're going to do back squats, and then we're going to do this skill work, and then we've got accessory work and stuff. And it's like, well, where's the CrossFit?
Yeah.
And I think Doug just had a really beautifully layered program.
Excellent. Nice.
And then I had the wonderful opportunity, just sort of almost by chance. Margo Alvarez was training at in California, and I ran into her husband, or almost husband, Alex. I think they're engaged. And he's coached a bunch of different athletes over the years. And I'd actually just had a baby and kind of wanted to be ready for the Open and maybe a team for regionals. And so I worked with him. And to this day, he had a couple of sayings. And one of them was trust the process. And I think that Alex does that that through his coaching, he had very specific things that you could then look at and say, wow, I did that better than I did a week ago. I did that better than I did a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a tremendous experience for me. So, yeah.
There's some great coaches. I actually met Doug in Chicago for a couple of minutes when I was over at the games. Okay. This year just gone, last year just gone. And myself and my girlfriend went to Brick Chicago, and we just walked in, and he was there at the time. Yeah, so it was I was like, what? Who is this guy? Brilliant. No, he's a really nice guy. He's great. He's a great guy. Nicole, do you have first of all, do you have a next coaching step that you're looking at? Obviously, Project Roots is a big part of your kind of going forwards coaching step or anything like that. But is there any other avenues you're looking at going towards, be it strongman or kettlebells or anything like that? Any kind of different kind of an avenue? No. It's all good.
A year and a half ago. Yeah. And I pulled it in July. And mm-hmm. Eric and I actually went over to Europe for 6 weeks, and I taught seminars over there. And mm-hmm. I came home in October, and I still couldn't pick up a barbell without just wincing. Mm-hmm. And so I called a friend, Abby Grove, who trains out of CrossFit Strong down in Texas. And she had a background in powerlifting and then had mm-hmm. been at Westside and just said, hey, I need some help. And all the I worked with her for 22 weeks to mm-hmm. rehab it, and nice. All of that was just so I learned so much, and to this day I still utilize some of the things that she gave me for my athletes. Where mm-hmm. it's not saying that I want them to go and start a powerlifting career, but it's to say, hey, there's some things here that can help you address, you know, the fact that maybe you skied your whole life and you have massive quads and no hamstring, or mm-hmm. maybe you. You know, we're a cyclist for a really long time and you have no spinal erectors, and let's put a little bit of attention there. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'm trying to start just digging in a little bit more about how those pieces all come together and integrate for a rehab approach that's not pulling athletes away from CrossFit, but allows mm-hmm. them to just address their life in general.
Yeah.
And use some of the sports specialists that we have that are contributing to CrossFit.
Yeah, I think I think that's really interesting, because I've definitely seen, I suppose, as we're getting more experienced in the CrossFit world and in the training world in general, that the amount of crossover and I think instructors and different even in the strongman sense, like different instructors will come and go and they'll change in and out. But the principles are really, really interesting. Once you, a lot of people look at CrossFit as this, okay, just, and I suppose a lot of people would be looking at it as just a high intensity, a HIIT kind of workout. And it's just that, it should be just that. Whereas in my head and in my mind, it's such a variety. It's essentially just this big, this lovely world of fitness. So you have a lot of different activities to play with, and you have to be able to adjust to them. So you have to definitely explore and not just like do one day every few months or something like that of a bit of fun.
Right.
Like it should be in there on a consistent level. Like if it's a case of weighted heavy carries, or if it is really big fat grip work or whatever it is, that kind of stuff needs to be in quite a lot to really get people, to get them that varied and strong work capacity, and the ability to really adapt to that.
Totally. And I also think too, like every one-off that you do, you learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the tendency is to do all the one-offs at one time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do strongman, I'm going to do Olympic weightlifting, and I'm going to do this gymnastic skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute, where's my CrossFit?
Yeah.
Again, you know, my focal point really is for the everyday athlete and where CrossFit can take them in a long time,
mm-hmm.
over a long period of time. And yeah, adding a strongman once a week, yeah, you got to do it for 6 months to really know,
mm-hmm.
and weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And no, not 3 days in 1 week and then not any the next week. Just
exactly,
sprinkle
yeah.
it in,
yeah.
and ride it out and be consistent. And,
mm-hmm.
and to your point too, with, you know, about, you know, having some points of consistency and checkpoints before you move on to the next part.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Using
the good guidance,
yeah.
that you get from those elements. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nicole, do you have any final advice for us as coaches, be it for CrossFit coaches or your general kind of S&C characters that may be listening? Anything in particular that you have seen that we can work on a little bit more, that we need to address a little bit more, or that we're doing right and that we can continue on with? Any particular advice?
Oh, man.
Sorry, I'm very big on big questions.
Yeah. Let's see. I think the thing that we can all do better as coaches, myself included, is remember the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really see for the everyday athlete that, you know, put ourselves in their shoes and see that, you know, CrossFit's maybe not their only responsibility in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we as coaches think, whether it's strength conditioning or CrossFit specifically, that, you know, this is like the best thing ever, and it is.
Yeah.
But but just sort of meeting people where they're at and understanding that helping them get to where they need to be is a lot of support, because they do have a lot of other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know how they're going to evolve over 6 years, 7 years. But if you give them that baseline of support and care, that you're opening the door for that to happen in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I think what coaches are doing, what I've seen lately, is they're becoming a lot more open.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think in the, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, it was very like, well, I've got my way of doing this, and this is how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've definitely found that a lot of the coaches that I've worked with in just a ton of different areas, yeah, they want to see a different technique on a muscle. They want to see a different
mm-hmm.
way of working through back squats in a group class or whatnot. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you agree with it. I think that's the big takeaway, is
mm-hmm.
that it's that you had exposure to something different, and now that is something that you get to put in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it will change your perspective. Maybe not to say that that's how you want to do it,
mm-hmm.
but it definitely helps you grow and have a better knowledge base. So
yeah.
I think that's something that, as a community generally, that coaches are doing better.
Excellent. Nice.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Super stuff.
So.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Super. Nicole, where can people find you, be it online or your gym? Is there any particular areas that they can kind of read more about you or get in touch with you potentially?
Yeah. So CrossFitRoots.com is our website.
Mm-hmm.
And under About Us, you can find my profile. If you want to send me an email, it's just Nicole, NICOLE. at crossfitroots.com. Mm-hmm. And then that's the easiest way.
Nice. Excellent.
I love getting emails. That's great.
Super. And exactly like that, if they want to contact you about Project Roots or anything like that, or any of those areas, they can just get in touch with you via that and then follow from there.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Super stuff. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for joining me. It's been really, really great chatting to you, and continued success. Thank you very much. Continued success with the gym, and hopefully this season, the open season, etc., goes really well for you guys. Okay.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Thanks very much.
Thank you.